According to the research, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. For example, it takes 10 years for a surgeon to be properly schooled and trained. It took Einstein 10 years to come up with E equals MC squared. It took Google's founder Larry Page 10 years to make the Google search engine the success that it is today. And so there's this 10-year rule of what it takes to be successful. And this 10-year rule, I have to tell you, it's great news for all of you here tonight. Because listen, it was 10 years ago tonight when I became the senior pastor here at Calvary South Austin. Thank you. 10 years ago tonight, I became the senior pastor here. And so if you've been waiting for a great study, then this might be that year. Well, with this being the 10th year of my pastorate here at Calvary South Austin, I want to spend some of our time here this evening examining some of the evidence which can help us to see how the Lord has been leading us to accomplish the vision that He's given me as the senior pastor of this church. But before we begin to examine this evidence, I want to quickly present you with just a real high-level view of this vision that I'm referring to. And so if you would open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12, where we find Paul, he's encouraging the Christians there in Rome to become those believers who are transformed and who are serving the Lord according to their spiritual gifts. Here in Romans chapter 12, well, we find the biblical basis for the real basic vision that the Lord has given me for this church. And while my vision is complex and dynamic in some ways, meaning that there's a lot to it, and there's a lot that I think the Lord is leading us to do, it's also very simple and very basic, in the sense that I believe that at the end of the day, the Lord simply wants to change lives here at this church. Now, with this as our focus, if you would look with me there at Romans chapter 12, I want to begin reading at verse 1. There Paul declares, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, and exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Now here in these verses, we find Paul, he's directing the Christians there in Rome to stop allowing the world to press them into its immoral mold, you know. And there he's saying, hey, don't be conformed to this world there in verse 2. Don't be conformed. Don't let the world press you into its mold. And I'm pretty sure that we all can look and see what kind of mold that is that the world's trying to press us into. But imagine that you have this mold, and it's the worldly carnal mold, and it's just taking people and trying to press them into this uniformity so that we all have the same kind of desires, we all have the same kind of plans, that we all have the same American dream of making it rich and having the 2.5 kids and, you know, having a successful business and all these sorts of things. And the world's trying to press us into this mold, and this mold, it leaves out God. This worldly mold, it leaves out the Lord and our relationship with Him. So Paul's saying, hey, don't be conformed. Don't allow the world to press you, believer, into its mold, thereby leaving out God. No, instead, he's directing these Christians to be transformed. He's encouraging these believers in Rome to have their minds transformed by the transformative power of God's Word. He's saying, hey, let your mind be renewed. And of course, he's talking about that washing of water by the Word of God that comes in and cleanses our minds. He's telling these Christians that they ought to have changed lives, that they ought to become different and transformed by the power of God. And according to His Word, we should be transformed in that way. Not only that, but Paul also directs these Christians here to discover what their spiritual gifts are so that they could begin to serve the Lord according to those gifts and according to His calling. And in this way, every believer at the church there in Rome was being called then to become an active member of the body of Christ, which is the church. Now, as we consider Paul's encouragement to those believers in Rome, I believe that this text, it presents us with a simple description of the basic vision that the Lord's given me here at Calvary South Austin. As a matter of fact, ever since the beginning of my pastorate 10 years ago, I've been saying basically the same thing. To put it simply, I've been committed to teaching the Word of God line by line and verse by verse. And if you go back and listen to every Vision Night study from 2007 until today, I've basically said that somewhere in that Vision Night message. That the vision I have for this church is to present God's Word in the whole counsel of God so that our lives might be changed by it. I've been committed to teaching the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, so that unbelievers might be saved, and so that believers might be equipped for the work of ministry, so that lives might be transformed, and so that we can use our spiritual gifts to serve our Savior. Now, with this vision in mind, with this basic high-level overview of just the end result of all the stuff that I'd like to see happen here at this church, just based on this concept of seeing people come into this church and hear the Word of God and allow it to transform their lives so they can become believers who are serving God according to the gifts that they received and the calling that they have, I'd like to show you some evidence that this is actually happening here at this church. With that, I'd like to invite the lead deacons to join me here on the stage and way to go. Look at that. I told them before the service, don't be those shy guys that have to wait for someone else to stand before you get up and go. Just go. Get up and move. But I'd like to hear from these guys. I'd like to hear their testimonies about the way in which the Lord is accomplishing this vision here at this church through the teaching of the Word and through service-based discipleship. These guys, this is the team that I meet with on a monthly basis. We talk about the ministries of the church, and all the ministries in this church are overseen by these guys or a leader that they themselves oversee. And so with that, I'm going to let them introduce themselves and what they do and just kind of give a brief testimony about how they've seen the vision being accomplished here at this church. And so who are we starting with? We're starting with Josh.
I'm on. Okay. So I'm Josh, and I am the deacon over the children's ministry. So if you have a young child, I probably interacted with them at some point except for changing diapers. I don't do that. But
he doesn't wash windows either.
No. You can tell on my car. Anyway, I've been here a while. I came probably 3 or 4 months after Bungie started here at the church. And one thing that the Lord's done for me in this church is help me with my pride. And when I first started coming here, you know, I'm used to winning. I'm a winner. And I like to win everything. Arguments, my job, anything I do. And one thing the Lord's continuously worked on through the Word and through this church is kind of humbling me. And so I know I've still got a long way to go, but I definitely have seen the Lord humble me. I definitely am enjoying more of seeing what the Lord's doing through me and through the servants in my ministry. And I've also seen that happen to many people in my ministry. Some of the strongest people who are serving under me, I've been watching the Lord humble them. And part of that is through service and stepping up and just learning to rely on the Lord to get through trials and tribulations that we normally try to force ourselves through on our own accord. But when we relinquish what we would have to do and let the Lord deal with it in our lives, then we definitely see the Lord do amazing things through people. So that's the main thing for me. I've definitely seen leaders in the children's ministry grow biblically. I know, woo, I'm humming. One thing I've definitely seen in the children's ministry is a lot of growth just from teaching God's Word. We definitely teach God's Word verse by verse, line by line through the Bible as well in the children's ministry. And people who have been scared and didn't think they knew the Bible, I've seen them grow tremendously teaching God's Word that way. So it's just been a huge thing. It's not just Bungie teaching the Bible that way, but we're also teaching it that way. I've done it in junior high and also in elementary now, and it's just a huge blessing to know that that God has equipped me in that way. So, and then one other thing, since Jeremy nominated me to go first, I thought I'd say that the only thing I haven't seen grow on here at Calvary South Austin is Jeremy and my hair. So.
Wow. I think we're having some bass feedback, please. Thank you. I was also going to mention that, you know, Josh and I have been talking earlier just about, you know, how the Lord has been dealing with him with humility, and what he told me earlier was that he was very proud at how humble he had become. So,
it's really hard to come up here and talk about it.
It is, you know, especially like when you're one of the best looking guys in the church. You know, to who's next?
I'm afraid to go next.
Welcome to open mic night.
Someone put the time clock on.
I've got
on.
A couple minutes Reuben time.
Right.
Yes, heart's racing. But my name's Reuben. Leading over the youth ministry, so middle schoolers and high schoolers. And one thing I wanted to mention, first of all, is the one thing I really appreciate, you know, having come to this church, I started attending in 2008, you know, right after college. I moved here from El Paso and started attending Calvary South Austin. But one thing I've always appreciated here is the commitment, as Bungie's already mentioned, is the commitment to teaching the Word line by line. And believe me, you know, if you guys have ever spent any amount of time just kind of looking out at culture and seeing what the news has to say, you will see that there is not such a great commitment these days in knowledge of God's Word, right? And so that is one thing I think we should all appreciate, is that the commitment here to teaching the entire Word of God. So that's definitely a great thing. And also, I've just seen, you know, if you spend any time just studying the Bible on your own, you know, you always notice that some certain passages, you know, kind of pop out at you, right? As you're just spending time with God and He's showing you things, right? Certain passages start sticking out to you, and it's awesome. I was doing some reflection on, you know, my time at Calvary South Austin, and you start seeing, yeah, one of the things is the commitment to the Word of God, but also how it impacts the entire church. And you start seeing, you know, these kind of New Testament passages coming out where the commitment to the Word of God, where, you know, Paul's encouragement to Timothy was letting him know that the entire scriptures are God-breathed, right? Inspired words of God, and how the purpose of the Word of God is to it's ultimately the end goal to have the perfection of the Christian. You know, so that's something that you can look forward to whenever you hear a Bible study here week after week. And then also just with my involvement in the youth ministry, you know, seeing the development, the growth of all the servants, especially the new servants that begin helping, and you start seeing the growth, the maturity. You know, at first they might think, oh, it's just, you know, a way to get plugged in, you know, spend a couple of hours a week with the youth, and, you know, that's how I'll put my time in. But then as they spend more and more time serving, you start seeing kind of also Paul's encouragement to Titus, where you start seeing that encouragement of the older men coming alongside the younger men and teaching them, and the older women coming alongside the younger women. And you start seeing that in youth ministry, and it's happening, and it's leading to the effective growth, the maturity, the spiritual maturity of these kids. And it's amazing to watch. But specifically the youth leaders, as I mentioned, you know, they might come in and start, you see that growth where they start thinking more and more, okay, these are deeper issues. You know, I'm actually impacting a real-life human being, not just on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. And so that's been amazing to see. And then also with my involvement with the outreach, with the, you know, the outreach that we do, the evangelism, and also the apologetics class, it's been amazing to see the growth there. You see the hunger, the desire for the church in, as a whole to grow in the knowledge of the truth of God in God's world. You know, all truth is God's truth, and we start seeing we want to be more efficient in getting to know God, but also getting to share the Word of God with others. And I've also seen that, as Bungie mentioned, we were just at Crockett High School right across the street, sharing the Word of God with the high schoolers there. But that was actually brought about by the desire from a couple of our high school students. So it's been amazing to see, you know, again, how certain passages stick out to you where God's instruction to the disciples was to go and make disciples. And it's awesome to start seeing our high schoolers, you know, taking the Word of God seriously and then having that desire in their heart. And then we all ultimately see the fruition there in these new ministries that we have, the high school ministry outreach now. So that's been amazing.
Excellent. Ruben from El Paso. That's Spanish for the Paso. So Chris is our resident oddball, and look, facial hair, facial hair. So, you can listen to him if you want.
Well, you know my wife.
she's good. Thumbs up from Gloria.
My name's Chris Knox. If you haven't seen me around, it's because, you know, I'm the shy one. I'm the one that waits for someone else to stand up first. I've been here a long time. Myself and my lovely wife, Gloria, have attended Calvary South Austin since before Bungie was here, a couple years before Bungie was here. And so I've seen him come from day one through today, and he's set a phenomenal example. For myself, one of the things that's really, I feel that I've experienced the most growth in is I've always been somebody who internalizes worry. So I worried about everything, and I would embody that, and I would encapsulate that in my heart. From even a young age, at 4 years old, I used to take medication because I used to worry about everything, and I had a stomach ache all the time. Well, I don't know how many of you remember or you were here at the time, but when we were at the other building, there was one weekend where a rat died in the wall somewhere. Now, the people in the church spent all weekend looking for this mysterious rat to see if they could get rid of it, because it smelled horrible as soon as you came in the front doors. So they did their best to find it. They never could, so they tried their best to air it out, but it didn't help that much. But when I went in Sunday morning and it still reeked, one of the things that really struck me is when I spoke with Bungie is he told me, you know, we did everything we could, but if God wants a stinky church, he'll have a stinky church.
That's what I tell Brenda about my house, so I just figured it applies.
So in our growth as Christians, that's really something that we need to take to heart. Is that God is in charge. And he's reinforced this through my life and through all the experiences that I've gone through here. I've seen a lot of different challenges to people in the body, with injuries, broken elbows, broken legs, broken hip, surgery on legs and knees, and mental problems, financial problems, personal problems, and all the challenges. And it's really heartening when you see these people and they're experiencing such tragedy. But when they're at church and you see them, they take everything in such stride because they're relying on the Lord in their lives. They've given everything to the Lord and said, well, if this is what you want, this is what it is. I'll accept that. And it's just like the verse that we talked about today, which the Lord presented to me this week while I was meditating on this topic, and that is presenting ourselves as living sacrifice, which is really a reasonable for us, considering what Christ did for us. The other thing I wanted to say was that throughout the years, we've had a lot of people come and go. We were some of the early ones here. I'm not sure if there's anybody else here that was here before us anymore. But a lot of the reason why some people will leave or some people come in and have issues is that they think of church in the wrong way. They come to church in a way that the world sees it, is you go to church on Sunday once a week, or you might go just on the holidays, but it's somewhere you either go because it's tradition, or it's somewhere you go just to learn something. And that's not the purpose of church. It's not just to learn. You come here and you plug in and you fellowship, you create a family in the body, and you have a shepherd. So when the Lord brought Bungie to the church, and the Lord brought my family to this church, He was presenting Bungie to me as my shepherd spiritually, so that I need to rely on Bungie for his advice, his guidance. You know, sometimes he doesn't hold back any punches, but he'll always take you to the Word to substantiate what he's telling you and challenge you in your life. And so when you have any type of problems, if you don't share that with your fellowship or your fellow members of the church or your leadership, then you're really missing out on that relationship and how to grow in the Spirit. So I just wanted to thank Bungie for your example. He's been a tremendous example. He's been attacked in every which way in these 10 years. And through it all, he's always sat back and said, well, it's in the Lord's hands, not mine. And I just want to thank you.
Thanks, Ben. He sounds like a man that should have a big, thick mustache, doesn't he? Excellent. Good word, man. So here's our second most eligible bachelor on the lead deacon group.
I'm Carlos, and I am the lead deacon over worship and sound ministry. I've been here since fall of 06, so I've been here about 8 years. And I was praying about what to talk about. I had no idea yesterday, and then I was praying last night. And there's a lot that God has been doing throughout the years, you know. But I felt like God wanted me to talk about just the commitment that being serving and being a part of a ministry is. For me, especially leading worship, I never thought I would, you know, I never really sought out the position. I never really... I'm not inclined naturally to be on stage or to, you know, be on the spotlight, so to speak. It's a very visible position, obviously, in the church. And just the growth that God has done, you know, through the challenges that come with that, you know, it's just like just the anxiety, the fear, the nervousness and everything. I've seen God's faithfulness, you know, throughout the years. And you know, we've stuck with it. And I've seen that with... The other people in the sound and the worship ministry, you know, we're constantly praying for each other, and we all have problems. Obviously, we all have things we're dealing with in life, and so to see people just stick with it, you know, continue to serve God, and I'm reminded of that verse that says, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands." You know, and so I'm doing what God's calling me to do. You know, we're all gonna have issues in life, but you know, how can we say that we love God and not obey what He's calling us to do? And so that's really what's God has been spoken to me throughout the years, and especially being leading worship.
Yeah, I just have to thank you for your heart in all of that, because I've had people come to me in the years that I've been the senior pastor here, just, you know, kind of taking that position of, here I am, put me up on stage, you know, and it's just kind of like, it's okay, here's a broom, you know, why don't you go sweep, you know, and I tend to look for those people who are just kind of like, yeah, I really don't want to be up on stage, and it's like, well, you're the right person then, you know, because I don't want someone to take the stage and, you know, here I am kind of attitude. It's worship, you know, it should be based in humility, and so, you know, Carlos is definitely... demonstrated that. So, thanks, man. All right, the JV team,
junior varsity.
The Jeremy Valencia is what I meant.
That's right. Guys, I oversee the media ministry, which is the web ministry, the radio ministry, the TV ministry, video ministry, PowerPoint ministry, and probably graphics ministry, as well as the singles ministry, where the available bachelors will be this Friday night if you're single as well.
It's a trap.
Friday night, 7 o'clock. I had the privilege of knowing Bungie before he was a pastor at all, and then seeing him get ordained at Calvary Austin, and then even being able to come down with him to South Austin in 2005 when he came. And, the question Bungie asked is, how have we seen people grow? And, I mean, he would be the example that I would give. If you think he's rough around the edges now. I'm joking and I'm not. This isn't in my notes, I did write notes. Everybody else winged it, so I'm going to wing it and I'll go over my notes. But one of the things, the blessings that I have had is to see him grow as a pastor. And he was a pastor before he was ordained as a pastor, and that's why our old pastor, just made it recognized. And from the get-go, we had a different relationship than we did than we do now, and we're still buddies. But at somewhere along the line, the Lord taught me what it means that somebody has the gift of pastor teacher. Right? We all have different spiritual gifts, and some of you probably are being raised up to be a pastor if the Lord has given you that spiritual gift, and you'll probably be raised up and sent out eventually. Maybe some of the guys up here. But along the way, the Lord actually confirmed the gift that Bungie has through a number of different ways. And piggybacking off what Chris was saying, that shepherding gift. And I remembered early on recognizing that and saying, okay, well then I'm gonna buddy up with this guy, and because the Lord is using him in a different way than he's using me. And it's been an awesome privilege to be on this ride with him, and just to see, we were praying for a place to meet down south, and we ended up, I was working at a casting agency at the time, and we ended up meeting in that place, and we could only fit like 25 people, and we filled it up. And then we didn't know where we were going to meet next, and that's when our old pastor received a call from the pastor that was planting this church back when Chris was here, saying, hey, will you send Bungie down south? And he was ready, and which is funny because the first time he ever told me he was wanting to be a pastor, I thought he was crazy, like a lead pastor. I was like, are you kidding me, man? You're an apologist, do that. That's awesome. And so from my mindset of the guy I knew to seeing him now, it's awesome to see that kind of like what Chris was saying, that example of growth. He's the pastor, but even the pastor grows. And just to see him be faithful to the things he's been called to. And all of that for him started in the same way that, now I'll jump into my notes, that I would say how I see people grow here at this church. And it's by plugging into ministries. When I think about how do people grow at our church spiritually, what is the idea, the vision, the game plan, it really is plugging into ministries. Because when you plug into a ministry, you instantly have that community. Whatever ministry it is, media ministry or any of my ministries, you get a community, right? You have people that all of a sudden, you might not know anybody in the church, but you know these guys that you're doing ministry with. And all of a sudden you have people that you can call to pray with, people who are going through the struggle of being a Christian in this world. And you don't get that at work. At work, people don't have the same worldview as you. And so when you come here, you have that community that you can lean on and do life together with. Beyond that, though, the tasks that the ministry have are designed for you to grow, right? It's not we're not having the people build the church. It's the task of really building the people, and that's really what's behind it all. We have the different ministries where you can get plugged in, and as you go through the task, they teach you different things. It teaches you to serve the Lord with sacrifice. Instead of sleeping in on Sunday, you're getting here early because you're going to serve one service, and then you're going to sit through the next or whatever it is. Maybe it's pushing you beyond your fears when you go to do First Thursday outreach or whatever it is, the tasks are there to help build you by using your spiritual gifts and your talents the way God's created you. And so the most growth that I see out of people at this church is those who get plugged into different ministries, no matter what ministry it is. And even joining a ministry is a small step of faith, right? Like the video ministry, I'm not asking you to, you know, fill out a, you know, take a test on theology to push the record button, right? But it's a good stepping stone for you to get plugged in and then to start serving and know what it's like to get comfortable and know what it's like to be committed to serving, kind of like these guys were talking about. And it's scary at first because you're like, oh no, these are the Christians and they're holier than me, or I'm not holy enough to serve. And it's not. It's just some facade that we have in our head before we actually step through the curtain and serve and plug in and get to know the other believers around us and realize they're struggling with things and they're doing this life as well. But the idea is that we grow through all that stuff. And so taking a step of faith to join a ministry is a small step of faith. And you work through those fears and you get plugged in and you have a community and you're growing. And in those ministries, you end up taking larger steps of faith and larger steps of faith. And soon you're living a life by faith. And it transfers not just in the ministry, but through your walk. You know, when you're deciding whether to, you know, buy a house or take a job or whatever it is, your spiritual faith muscle, the way, like kind of what Bungie was talking about earlier, you've exercised those muscles, and so now you're taking steps of faith outside of the building that we call Calvary South Austin, and so you're growing at that point in time. And one of the things I would say is that I would use an example as Reuben. Here's Reuben. He's overseeing the apologetics ministry. He's overseeing the First Thursday outreach and the youth. And when he first got here, he didn't know a thing. You know, I mean, it was funny because, you know, I had forgotten actually how I had forgotten. I was like, did you always know apologetics? Was that your thing? And then he reminded me of a conversation we had in the singles ministry one time where somebody had to rebuke his heresy. And I was like, that's right. And what's cool about
he's
that...
He's still getting rebuked for heresy, yeah. By the way. It's just
he's
new
just not
heresies.
In the singles ministry. So. But that was it was cool because I had forgotten that because he's grown so much and you would never go into the apologetics class. You would never... You know, unless you were there, you really wouldn't buy it because it's like, oh, yeah, he took a step of faith. He joined the video ministry, and it allowed him to serve in a comfortable way. He's a tech guy, so it was something he could do easily, and it got him familiar with what it means to be plugged into church, what it means to get to serve. And then that allowed him to build other relationships to where he was coming to the singles ministry. He was joining the men's ministry. And so it's those little steps of faith that grow into bigger steps of faith. And specifically joining the ministry that I see the most growth of the people here at the church as well as myself.
Excellent. Good examples, you know. Still debatable about the first one, but Reuben's a great example, that's for sure. So, well, last but not least, he's a Sagittarius who drives a Lexus. He likes to take long walks on the beach. His favorite color is tan. Bronco!
Thank you, Bunzi. So, I oversee the ushers and greeters. I oversee the hospitality ministry. I oversee the maintenance and cleaning, and also help coordinate with the communion. What I wanted to share is, you know, having a military background, you know, you understand leadership. You understand, you know, rank. And though this is a church, I see Bungie as that shepherd, as Chris was describing. I see that commander, and I didn't hesitate to catch that vision that he had for this church and get into ranks and help him in a manner that he can continue teaching, and we can remove things from his plate so he doesn't have to worry about anything. And most of the ministries that I oversee are gifts of helps. It's about us reaching out, beautifying the church, the coffee, the cleanliness of this place, you know, greeting, coming in. It's just about helps. And one of the things I just wanted to share with everybody is when you're an usher, or, you know, you're just constantly observing. And what I love to observe is how believers in this church who consider Calvary South Austin their home church, how they reach out to their families, to their friends, or even strangers that just met, and invite them to the church. Now, it paints a picture. It resonates with me because, you know, when I think it was in John chapter 1, Andrew invites Simon, his brother. He says, "Hey, I found Jesus the Messiah. Follow me. You know, let's go see him." And the same when Philip, you know, Jesus calls Philip, "Follow me." And Philip starts following him, but then he turns around and says, "Hey, Nathaniel, come follow me." So I see that happening here at the church, how people are reaching out, because what they're saying is basically, "I have Jesus, and I want you to follow me to this church, because that's where they teach the word." So I love the fact most of the people that I see coming in are being reached out from within. But on top of that, once they're here, they hear the word being taught, you know, verse by verse, book through book. And it's just amazing how, you know, when you're standing back there and observing, how it impacts the hearts. You know, it just, how it says the word is the, I'm going to butcher this, but the powerful and living, it's like a sword, two-edged sword, and just pierces the heart. And you can see time by time, people are just faithfully coming, hearing the word, and it just begins to pierce their heart, change their hearts. And somewhere down the line, you know, they just, you know, they trusted in the Lord, they changed their heart, and their renewed heart, and the byproduct of that is they want to serve the Lord, and they want to serve, you know, within the church. And I love that, and I love the seeing the people growing, faithfully starting with a little bit and just growing and growing. And so the vision that I see is, and the gifts of helps, is just pouring into the leaders that I have, and then those leaders pouring into others, and just continuing to see and grow. So I'm noticing as the church grows, how leaders start stepping up, and it's just a beautiful thing. Now, real quick, how it's impacted my life is, you know, I just went over a study, and it's Paul basically saying how thankful he was. This is in Philippians, how thankful Paul was in the remembrance to the Philippians. So Paul is being thankful to God for the Philippians, because after the 10-year relationship they've had, these guys are helping Paul through his missionary trips, and they're you know, when he's in jail, in prison, they're sending him help. So here they are, the Philippians, using their talents, their treasure, and their time, their investments, and all of that, and they're pouring into Paul. And Paul is just so thankful because they're in partnership, because it's part about the gospel, reaching out, but they're also utilizing their talents, their treasure, and their time. So Paul has this attitude of thankfulness, and that's where I'm at. I'm just, when I see the church coming, growing, in ministry, leaders stepping up, servants stepping up, I'm just thankful that, you know, we're faithful with those gifts. And, you know, it allows us opportunities to pray for one another, encourage one another, and have that heart, that affection, as Paul was saying. So to me, that's just awesome to be part of it. I'm invested, and, you know, can't wait to see what this year has for us.
All right. Good job, guys. Let's give them a hand. I'm so thankful to the Lord for this group of leaders that just sat up here with me. You know, they enable me to be able to focus on preparing Bible studies and teaching Bible studies. And you know, there's so much more to what happens at the church. I mean, the maintenance of a building. I mean, just the other day, carpets were being cleaned, and you know, there's, you know, women's ministry and men's ministry, and just, you know, children's ministry in and of itself is just a huge, huge ministry. You know, the servants that it takes to have a children's ministry, the supplies that need to be ordered. You know, I mean, just go on and on and on. I mean, just, you know, making sure there's toilet paper in every stall. I mean, that in and of itself could take, you know, I mean, just depends on how much you guys eat. But, you know, I mean, it could take a lot. But I'm just saying that there's so much involved with making, you know, a church function in the way that it should. And then be able to have a team of leaders who oversee other leaders, who oversee other people, and so on and so forth, to make sure that all that stuff is happening. You know, the tables are being waited upon, to put it in Acts terminology. You know, so that I can do what God's called me to do, which is to pray and study His Word and hear from the Lord, so that I can come up on Wednesdays and Sundays and have a word from the Lord to you. And I'm grateful, you know, for this crew and everyone else that is investing so much time into making this an awesome place. And with that, you know, I wanted to bring up just a small group of servants in this church to also share some of their testimonies. And so if we could just have, you know, this group, Group B is what I call them. But but yeah, I'd like to bring this group up and give them an opportunity also to kind of share their testimonies about the way that the Lord is accomplishing His vision here at this church. And so thanks, guys, for agreeing to step up on stage with me. So David's got the mic on this side, so let's just start down here. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? And
I'm David, for those who don't know who I am. I oversee the cleaning ministry and maintenance ministry.
I would introduce my wife before the rest of
this is outside. My wife, for those who don't know. Yeah. We actually got married, or Bungie actually married us, so it was kind of cool, I guess. As you can tell, I'm nervous.
It was all right.
But one thing that he showed me, growing up, I was always taught to do everything yourself. If you want something done right, do it yourself. And so we kind of built a house, and so I was like, I'm going to do everything myself. Well, that was a long process, and that's also a process when this church was being remodeled and setting up for how it looks now. And I was too busy to get involved. And Bungie tried to get me involved a couple of times, and I said, oh, I don't have time. Well, it's weird because I end up in maintenance ministry, and I actually got with Franco, and it was on Fridays. I worked a pretty cool job where I had a lot of time during the week, and I was like, we'll come in here, and I'll knock everything out, and we'll go home. And he kind of showed me not to. It's not all about the task. It's about getting to know the individual and just fellowship and learning about that person and pouring into them. And so through that, God showed me not to trust in myself to get things done, to trust into Him. And little by little, I've been doing that. And when I thought I was kind of trusting in Him, He kind of challenged me to be a leader, which was kind of nerve-wracking. But so it allowed me to trust in Him more. And then when I kind of thought I had that down, Bungie asked me to come up here, which this isn't my strong point. I sit at a desk all day, so I don't really talk too much to many people. So through all this, I've been trusting in Him, and He's been building me up, and I'm giving me the courage to actually share my faith with others and try to get new servants to come in and pour into them.
Good job.
I guess I'm next. Okay, so my name is Jennifer. I am the assistant hospitality leader, and I think we started coming here back in 08-09 time frame when we were still dating. But at that point in time, same thing when we were building our house, I just didn't have time. I didn't have time to serve. I didn't have time to even come on Wednesday nights. It was a Sunday only type thing. But I did grow up with knowing the Lord. I've been a Christian since 2000, so I kind of knew better. Just over 2 years ago, the Lord led me to leave my job. I was unemployed for a year and a half. He claims 2 years. It's a year and a half. But during that time, actually right after my last day of work, that next week the women's study started for the fall semester. And then the fall fiesta happened, and so I served with fall fiesta, and then two people right after that came and asked me, hey, do you want to serve? Have you ever thought about it, prayed about it? And I was like, yeah. Well, what if I get a job? I won't have time to be able to do this. And the Lord put it on my heart. It's not about the future of I don't have time in the future or what if. It's about you have time now. You need to serve him now. So during that time without a job, he had taught me just to completely give all my trust and all my energy to him. So I was able to start off in the snacks ministry. I also started helping out the ladies on Fridays with the cleaning ministry, bouncing around between the Tuesday and Friday on Eve, or the E31 ministry as well. And so just within those ministries, I was just able to get so much encouragement and so much accountability to just be able to be fully involved in his word and just growing in his word. And so if the Lord didn't press me to take that initial step of faith of just start serving him, then I wouldn't be kind of where I'm at right now and just being able to be so involved and still have the support group behind me as well.
Awesome. Let's jump over to this side.
I have the mic. Okay. I'm Chelsea, and I serve in the media ministry and the cleaning ministry, but really I wanted to talk about how the church has changed my life. So I started coming here about 3 years ago. So before I came, though, I was not a Christian, and I really thought that I had a lot of friends and that I really, you know, like a lot of friends. And so when I found out I was pregnant, when I found out I was pregnant, I lost a lot of them, mostly just because I couldn't do the same things I was doing. I was sober. So then when Lola's dad decided not to be a part of our family, I lost even more because it was just, you know, I guess scary, difficult for them. So I moved back home, and I didn't have anybody except for my parents, who would not leave me alone. They just kept inviting me to church, and I was like, guys, I am pregnant and single. I'm not going to go to church. It's just not going to happen. And honestly, the real reason that I started coming was because I was like, okay, I'm sitting at home all by myself. So just coming and hearing the word taught line by line, and really just learning what Jesus did for me and how much he loves me and just everything. I gave my life to him about a couple months after I started coming, and I didn't expect any of my problems to go away or my life to get easier. I just wanted to serve him in any way that I could. And so just because of all, the people that had disappointed me or left me, I was so scared to talk to people or just, like, anything, just make eye contact with anybody. And the Lord really worked in my heart to show me, that, like, his people, they're going to love me because they love him and I'm part of his family. And it was something that I didn't really expect to happen. And so really just coming to church every day and just seeing the way that all of you minister to each other and encourage one another, and the accountability that we have, and the way that y'all care about me and care about my daughter, and just it has completely changed my life, and is, you know, y'all reflect Jesus's love, and it's just something that I'm really, really thankful for.
Awesome. And my understanding is that you ended up in the media ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you were in that kind of stage of like always having your head down and looking down, you kept making eye contact with Jeremy.
Well,
so he was just—he's right there as you're looking down. And
yes.
Is that how it went down? Okay. Clark.
Yeah, I'm Clark. Hello, family. And I was incarcerated when I repented and returned to the Lord. And it was there that I truly started to feel the love and forgiveness of Christ. And it was also there that God had put it on my heart to learn the Word, to find a place where I could learn the Word, where I could be a part of the fellowship, and I could serve. And so when I got out, I set out to go to church for a year every Sunday and not go to the same church twice. That way I would find out exactly where I belong. But of course, God had another plan. And on one Wednesday night, while walking in a thrift store, I came in over here, and lo and behold, there's line by line teaching where I can learn the Word, and I was in wonderful worship music. So I was I'd like to say I was immediately convinced, but I clung on to some self will and carried on with my experiment for another couple of months on Sundays. Until there was just no denying that this is where I was supposed to be. And so started coming in on Sundays and Wednesdays. And so the first ministry that I got involved with was the MPG, the Men's Prayer Group. My brother Lowell invited me to start going, and that's where my life really started to change. I think it was from the prayers and the encouragement and the accountability there that I didn't fall back into old behaviors so early in my walk, and it definitely helped me stay out of a couple of questionable relationships early in my walk. And so grateful for that MPG. And then after that, I got involved with the usher ministry and started fulfilling God's purpose, God's will for me, and which I think was welcoming people to worship and also to help protect and keep an eye over things while while everybody is in here focused on prayer and worship. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the ministers, Jeremy and Franco, who has poured into me in that ministry. And then I got involved with, by the way, I recently got given a leadership position. I'm over Wednesday night ushers and greeters. So
awesome.
I'm grateful for that. And another ministry was that's very special to me now is One. That started off slow to me, and I was so grateful for it because the single walk can sometimes feel a little lonely. Even though I'm not alone, sometimes it feels that way. And so I'm grateful for that fellowship. I started to grow in relationships there and really start to live out that scripture that says treat older men as your father and younger men as your brother and older women as your mother and younger women as your sisters.
And Tom Shoaf as your great-grandfather.
Yes. And so I'm just I'm so grateful to all these ministries to keep me, help keep me my walk in obedience, and even though that is definitely not perfect, but it definitely helps me stay on the right path. And so I guess that it. I want to give a shout out to the apologetics ministry too, and the Max Men's ministry. And so I love all of them. Thanks.
That's awesome. Good job. All right, the Rioses.
Hi, I'm Chris Rios. This is my wife Liza. We've been coming here to Calvary about 4 years now, I think. We definitely started slowly. I want to say I feel like I was saved in 2013 after probably about a little over 2 years of just listening to the Bible being taught. line by line, verse by verse. I definitely fought submitting. I didn't want to. But after, you know, just you hear it so much, it's just hard to deny it. You know, you can't really deny the truth anymore. You just submit. Definitely a long process. I feel like it was a process for us. You know, again, just going and I mean, I don't know if you can pinpoint a time when you feel like you were, say, Eliza, yeah. But I mean.
Hi, I'm Eliza. This is the first time with a microphone. I feel like I was saved, and it was a process. 2013, we've been coming here since about 2011.
It's official.
And it was definitely a process and a lot of exposure to the Word. But it was hearing Bungie speak, it was definitely very intriguing and wanting to learn more. I always wanted to learn more. I wanted to come back, even though I felt convicted. I just wanted to come back and learn the Word and be in it. It was really our daughter that pulled us in. Yeah. Do you want
to? Yeah. Well, I mean, we started going to Calvary because I think it's in 2011. Vicky got saved at the Calvary camp. And when we saw her, that night we picked her up. I mean, she was on fire. It was just like we completely saw a different...
Not literally on fire.
Almost. We didn't recognize her, and we felt that conviction right away. And, you know, it coming here, we've slowly... I think we kind of slowly started serving, just not in official ministries, but just kind of here and there, you know, helping take out the trash or sweep, you know, just small things.
VBS.
Yeah, and it was a help with VBS. Now I'm in the usher's ministry, and I'm in the bookstore. And it just kind of was a slow, organic process for me just to want, you know, I feel like it is my home church. I do feel plugged in, and I, you know, you do want to serve once you feel that connection and the fellowship with everybody, and you just, it's just, it, you just want to, you know. I never thought I'd go to church on, you know, Wednesday nights. And it was hard for me to go past, you know, Easter and get my ashes. That was that was good enough for a while. And, you know, going to church twice a week is it's alien to me, but it's great at the same time. You know, it's changed a lot of our family life. Not perfect. I mean, we still have our moments, but it has changed our life in how we interact with each other at home. How we pray, just what we view prayer as, you know, not just a, you know, dear God, I want this, I want this, I want this. It's definitely more of a conversation, Him speaking to us too, a two-way conversation. And also, again, learning that what the Word says. I remember when, you know, people keep touching on the line by line, verse by verse. When I first heard that concept, I was like, oh my God, that is just going to be boring. You know, I just thought it was, because I was used to, you know, you pick this pretty verse here, then you know you go to this pretty verse, and there's no context, nothing. It all sounds good. It all sounds, you know, hey, everything's, you know, all good. And when I first started feeling that conviction, when you start seeing, you know, you start filling in the blanks, and you feel that conviction, you know, typically, I guess for both of us, we probably would have shied away, but there was something, you know, in our pastor here, that just, you know, there was a integrity and just credibility when how he can back everything up with, you know, with the verse, you know, and show you that it is biblical. That kept us coming back, and that kept us wanting to serve more and get more involved and just meet people and you know, kind of not just be Patty's nephew or John's nephew, and just kind of meet people and just grow and become part of Calvary.
And part of that growth is, it's like everybody has said, it truly is, and your growth involves you it just evolves you. It just you have to get connected. Coming here on Sundays and Wednesdays and hearing the word is great, but you also have that group of people that are there to teach you and to pray with you, pray for you, guide you. I'm part of the hospitality committee, and I do snack, and I feel awesome coming here on Wednesdays and providing that nourishment for this environment so that other people can get prayer or get connected to other families or have the fellowship. Also, you know, for women, the women's Bible studies are just amazing. I feel like I've grown a lot just attending the studies. The last one we had on forgiveness was just really good. I learned a lot about the Lord, and I learned and just how to rely on Him for everyday things. So my growth is still young, and I just hope to, you know, to be here and continue to come and continue to grow.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you guys spending this time with us. And as these guys make their way back to their seats, I would just point out that, you know, it was hard, very difficult to pick a group to come up here, because as I even look through the auditorium right now, I know that there's just story after story after testimony after testimony, you know, even backstories. I mean, talking about, you know, families, you know, drawing family members in and you know, encouraging them to come and get plugged in, and they get saved. And I know that there's just so many stories here. And so we prayerfully considered, you know, who to bring up here, and I hope you were blessed by these stories. I encourage you guys to share your stories with one another. You know, I know that we're, you know, running out of time here, so I'll just probably spend about another hour on the rest of my vision. You know, clearly the Lord is changing lives here, right? It's obvious that high-level vision of the Lord working through the teaching of His Word, through discipleship ministry, you know, lives are being changed here, and, you know, He's accomplishing His vision here. I also want to point out just a few more things that the Lord has accomplished throughout the years. I want to remind you of a few things that I've taught in previous vision nights. For example, in 2007, it was our first vision night. I talked about the desire to move out of that converted warehouse space that was there on South Congress so that we could have more space for children's ministry and doing more ministry. And in 2008, I thought we were going to move into the Cherry Creek Plaza, into the Dollar General store that they were talking about moving out, and that didn't work out. But in Vision Night 2008, I talked about the possibility of moving into the Cherry Creek Plaza and having a church here in this location. And though we didn't end up in the suite that I thought we would end up in, we ended up here just as the Lord had kind of revealed to me. And it was just a few years after that, in 2011, when the Lord provided us with the opportunity of this space that we're currently in. During that same message, and then later on in 2012, on that vision night, I spoke about the possibility of starting an outreach ministry at Crockett High School. And it was this past December when we kicked off a monthly lunchtime outreach there in the band hall of Crockett High School. We've actually seen, you know, upwards of 20-plus students showing up to eat pizza and learn about Jesus. Not only that, but for several years I've talked about our desire to open a Christian daycare center, and December 2014, the city of Austin granted us the license that we needed to begin what we're now calling the Calvary Kids Development Center. I would also point out that I've spent some time talking about the plan to increase the size of our staff, and since then, Brenda has joined us. My wife, Brenda, has joined us, you know, in a full-time capacity now as the director of the daycare center, and I'm happy to tell you that yesterday, we received our very first enrollment, and this morning we received our very first child into the daycare center. And so It's just incredible to see this coming to pass when this is something I've been talking about since 2007, 2008. Last year, I talked about the way in which the Lord was, you know, leading us to increase the size of our space by providing us with more space next door in the annexed mall area, and that was last February. In March, the Lord provided us with that space so that we can move our youth ministry into the separate, you know, building over there where they have, you know, room and it can be loud and all that kind of stuff. And the youth are just having a blast in that meeting room. And during our last vision night last year, I mentioned that it's time to fix the tile floor that was messed up at the install 3 years ago. And you know, I talked about putting up a permanent building, you know, sign for the church. And all this happened this past year. It's just amazing to go back and listen to the vision nights, you know, from years past, and then to compare and see what the Lord has actually accomplished here in this church. And that's exciting for me because, listen, you know, if you go back and listen to some of those studies where I was really kind of dropping the larger vision that the Lord has given me for what we want to accomplish, if he's already done X amount, well, if he should tarry, then I have to assume that he's going to continue to fulfill the vision that he's given me for this church. And listen, this includes, you know, a Christian elementary school, a Christian middle school and high school, even a Christian Bible college, a retreat center. You know, this includes us making an impact on the world through media like film and television and music. You know, this has to do with, you know, leading people to Christ and seeing lives change through all of this. And with that, I just want to conclude our time by just taking a moment to refocus on Paul's encouragement, which is found there in Romans chapter 12 again. If you would look with me there at Romans 12 at verse 3. If you don't have your Bible open, I'm just going to read through it very quickly. Paul says, "I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And so, as we consider these verses again, Paul's reminding us here that every Christian has a function within the body of Christ. And Christians ought to be functioning within that role. Now, as we consider this concept of being parts or members of the same body, we should notice again there in verse 3 where Paul encourages every believer among us to stop thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, consider what he's saying there in light of the context of all of us being a part of the same body or members of the same body. You see, as we consider that statement of the fact that we don't need to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, Paul seems to here be suggesting that there might have been some Christians there in Rome who were failing to fulfill their function there in the Church of Rome, and it's possible that they just thought that they were better than that, that they were better than to show up and serve, you know, that they were of the elite kind of Christian who could just show up and receive, and everybody just minister to them, and then they get to go home and go on about their day. And Paul's saying, no, don't think highly of yourself. You're just another member. You're just another part of the body. And what this means then is that there were people who were proud in that church there in Rome, and their pride was causing spiritual paralysis in parts of the body. Being the case, it's important for us to understand that the Lord has spiritually gifted every believer at the moment of our salvation. He's given us spiritual gifts, and he's calling us to serve him in some capacity here in our Christian community. Therefore, the Christian who isn't spending time serving the Lord in according to their gifts and calling, well, they're a non-functioning member of the body, or they're a paralyzed body part within the church. Now consider how this applies to your own personal body, right? We have our body, and let me ask you this, Christian. How many parts of your physical body would you be willing to hand over to self-imposed paralysis? How many parts of your body would you be saying, well, I could pretty much do without that? I wouldn't give up anything personally, right? I'm not willing to give up a finger or a hand or a toe, or I don't want any part of me to be paralyzed. I feel for those people who have parts of their bodies that are paralyzed. It's got to be difficult for them to function. Chances are you want all of your body parts working the way that they ought to be working. Now, if you prefer that every part of your body functions in the way that it should, then isn't it also reasonable to expect that every Christian who is a part or member of the body, is it unreasonable to think that every single part of this body should be functioning in the way that it should? That not one of us should take the thought process of thinking, well, I can be the paralyzed part of the body and that's okay. Not so. The Lord's calling us all to be functioning members of the body. This is precisely what Paul is writing about in Ephesians chapter 4 when he writes, the whole body, which is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, promotes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He's saying, hey, look, every part of this spiritual body should be functioning and doing its share. And when we do, it causes the growth of the body. And as a result, the body is then edified in love. Christian, we've all been called to fulfill a function within our Christian community. Therefore, the Christian who isn't doing their share is actually causing the rest of the body to work harder. And that's what happens in the body of a person who has paralysis in some area. Right? Like if you're paralyzed in your legs, then your arms have to work harder because you got to get around in crutches or a wheelchair. You know, the rest of the body has to work harder because this portion of the body is paralyzed. And that's true of a church. When there's portions of the body, spiritually speaking, who are paralyzed, meaning that they're not willing to serve, they're not willing to do their part, well, that just means the rest of the body has to work harder in order to accomplish the vision that God has given us. That being the case, I just want to encourage every single believer here tonight. If you're serving your Savior here in our Christian community, I encourage you, don't grow weary in doing well. Don't grow weary in fulfilling your function here at Calvary South Austin. Continue seeking power from the Lord to do what He's calling you to do. But for those of us who have yet to step up and serve in the way that the Savior is calling us to serve, I encourage you, start taking those steps to align yourself and place yourself into the ministries according to the gifts that you've been given and according to Christ's calling on your life. Begin to talk with the lead deacons that you saw up here, that first group of guys. Those are the lead deacons who themselves, they oversee all the leaders of the various ministries of this church. Start talking to those guys about your gift set and about what the Lord might be calling you to do, and help them to find a place of service for you. Maybe it's just taking a part in the cleaning ministry. After this service, there's going to be a group cleaning up this room. You know, I'm sure they could always use a little more help. Someone pushing a vacuum or sweeping a broom or whatever the case is. Begin talking to these lead deacons about where you fit in and how you can help. How you can do your part so the church grows and is edified in love. Find out how you can accomplish the vision that the Lord has given for this church. You're going to be blessed by it. Just as you've heard these guys up here talking, both groups just raved about how the Lord was working in their lives because they stepped up and began to serve. It's true of my life. And it'll be true of yours too. So whatever's keeping you back, whatever is keeping you from becoming a functioning member, I encourage you, realize that it's just the enemy trying to keep you from being blessed. Now, why would you believe a liar? Doesn't make sense, does it? Believe the Lord. Every member should be a functioning member of the body of Christ. And with that, I want to conclude our study by just encouraging you to step up so that we can continue to quickly move forward. The time is short. The days are evil. And the Lord has a lot to accomplish in and through this church. I believe that we can get it done a lot faster if we all step up together and serve side by side as functioning members of the body of Christ. Let's pray.